Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're joined by Russ Dallin, one of our duty experts on things in the hemisphere, a beat he's very familiar with as the president and editor-in-chief of the Latin American Herald Tribune. He is formerly the president of Venezuela's 60-year-old newspaper, The Daily Journal, and he has been active in the business side of the hemisphere as well through his investment bank, Caracas Capital Markets. Russ, it's so good to have you back. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes with us.
Thank you, Secretary. It's always a pleasure, sir.
We have a news story here that is important on several different respects, it seems to me. One is what Goldman Sachs, company with which you're very familiar, of course, from your work in the investment business, has been doing in Venezuela of late. I'd like to talk to you about both the immediate transaction and its implications, Russ.
Absolutely, and it created a stir. It's on the front page of the Wall Street Journal this morning, as a matter of fact. But basically, Venezuela has been sort of isolated from the financial markets. While its existing debt does trade, it trades at pennies on the dollar, 40 cents, 50 cents, basically precluding them from accessing new capital, like any company. When its bonds or stocks are out there in the market, you buy a share of IBM. IBM doesn't get any money. It's the guy who sold it to you because IBM's already been paid from the IPO. Venezuelan debt has been the same. But they had some debt that they hadn't been able to sell that they did in 2014, and it's been in the central bank. Well, over the last week, $800 million came into Venezuela's coffers, and we couldn't figure out where it came from until the Wall Street Journal broke the story that it came from Goldman Sachs, who bought $2.8 billion of Venezuelan debt at $865 million. In Goldman Sachs' defense, they've said it was from a broker, but the money went straight to Venezuela. The broker was a small intermediary who was probably responsible for extracting a nice commission to pay the people involved, but basically giving lifeblood to a dictatorship who's crushing and killing and maiming its own people to try and stay in power in Venezuela.
Let me ask you, what are the benefits to PDVSA of this deal and to Goldman?
Well, the benefit to PDVSA is nothing. This was bonds that they issued and gave to the central bank to pay an IOU to the Venezuelan central bank, who they'd sucked money out of. So they essentially get nothing out of this. The Maduro government, however, does get $865 million that it didn't have last week. The benefit to Goldman Sachs is, of course, that they'll earn four times their money if and when this is ever paid. In 2022, when these bonds come due, they'll have made over four times their $865 million.
But in the process, as you say, they have done a huge disservice to the people of Venezuela and a great benefit, sort of new life support for this odious regime that is oppressing them. What does Goldman Sachs say about the strategic implications of this, or are they indifferent to them?
No, they released a statement late last night because of the furor. Actually, there are protests at their headquarters in New York today at 12:30. There are some coming in Miami on Thursday. People are up in arms about this transaction. It was a huge faux pas from a reputation point of view for Goldman Sachs to do this. And they have basically admitted that they did it, but that said that they believed in the future of Venezuela, and that's why they did it.
Uh-huh. Yes, it just may be harder to get to the future with them having done it. The opposition is among those up in arms, as I understand it, in Venezuela as well. Is that right?
That's correct. I mean, it's 80% of the population wants to get rid of this guy, but he's not going. He's blocked elections. And now they're trying to change the Constitution so there's not one man, one vote elections, because they couldn't win that. They're going to have the same thing that they do in Cuba and in the Soviet Union. They're going to have collectives basically nominate who can be on who can run for power.
This is really a tragedy of the first order. I wonder as there are a number of prominent alumni of Goldman Sachs in the Trump administration. I'm thinking of Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, Gary Cohn, the Director of the National Economic Council, and Dina Habib-Powell, the Deputy National Security Advisor, for starters. Do you think that there's a sympathy for this kind of behavior on Goldman Sachs' part for the Trump administration's, at least some of its senior leadership?
Gosh, I hope not. There's no defense. I mean, we expect hedge funds to behave like this because they're amoral sharks, and that's what they do. But this is Goldman Sachs. It's one of the leading international firms in the world, which took, by the way, U.S. taxpayer bailout money in 2008, 2009, because of the economic crisis and its role in the subprime lending, which, frankly, we should know that you would expect that it would learn from that, because basically not only did they take taxpayer bailout money, but they had a role in structuring securities which were designed to fail based on subprime lending, which were designed to blow up and screw their own customers. The second problem that they had was a few years ago when Greece went bankrupt was that they had been helping Greece to hide some of its deficit spending and its debt through financial maneuvers that kept the European Union from knowing just how bad the situation and the debt situation in Greece was. You would think that that kind of reputational risk, they would learn from it. But as this weekend's as this week's actions show, that they haven't.
It does seem to me that with these senior executives now in senior positions in the U.S. government, there's a special burden on both the company and on these alumni to begin mending their ways.
It is outrageous, and Marco Rubio has actually he's tweeted about it, saying he was shocked that Goldman would be involved in doing this. So it has come to the to the attention of one of the leading senators who's been, fighting for Venezuela.
Hey, let me quickly turn to one other topic that we've been tracking with you, Russ. Give us an update, if you can, on what's going on with this effort by the Russians to take over some of Citgo's assets in the United States with potentially very, very ominous implications for our energy security interests.
Yes. So, your listeners will recall, we discovered Venezuela had mortgaged half of its Citgo refineries in the United States to Russia back in November for $1.5 billion. And we went to Congress and asked for a CFIUS review for the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, which is responsible for looking at all of these things, to take a look at this transaction because it wasn't kosher in the sense of having the Russians own half of the sixth largest refinery in the United States, which provides 19% of the gasoline market. And suddenly that the Russians were going to be in control of that. At any rate, the House and then the Senate wrote to Secretary Mnuchin, a Goldman Sachs alum, by the way, as you noted, to ask for CFIUS review of this transaction because they were quite concerned about Russian ownership of important United States infrastructure, energy infrastructure. And they got no response until Secretary Mnuchin, in his first testimony as Secretary of the Treasury and head of CFIUS before the Senate, was cross-examined by Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey, who specifically asked him about the Russian transaction with Venezuela over Citgo. And Secretary Mnuchin promised that they were looking at it and they would be having future discussions about it with him, both classified and in an open setting.
Keep up the good work, my friend, at the Latin American Herald Tribune. We appreciate your time and your expertise tremendously. Come back to us again very soon.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.